Hello and welcome to the San Carlos Blog Podcast. My name is Bob Burdell. I'm a realtor with RE/MAX today in downtown San Carlos. Appreciate everyone logging on for this week's podcast. Today is Tuesday, May 13th, and as you might suspect, we are a good way through our spring market, and I thought it would be a good time to do a little bit of an analysis and kind of see where San Carlos is sitting and evaluate where we might be going as we kind of head into the summer months here. So let's start with the basics. San Carlos inventory is at an all-time high for 2008. We have suffered from inventory issues the entire year, and we're finally getting to a little bit of inventory. We're currently at 61 active single-family residences, and if you've been on the blog over the past few months, you'll know that for majority of spring, we were kind of somewhere down in the 40s, and once in a while, we'd top out at 52, 53, and then it would just shoot right back down to 48, 49. So we finally have some inventory, and it seems to be at all the different price ranges, which is good. Folks are going to have some options, which is great. We haven't had that for a while here in San Carlos. You may also be aware that there have been a few articles recently written about the housing market in the Bay Area and the peninsula, and I have some thoughts on those. But first, I kind of wanted to say that, you know, it's funny, I'll be holding an open house and we'll have buyers come through, and even as early as just last weekend, I have some buyers come through and kind of look at you and say, gosh, you know, are you surviving? Are you? And yeah, you know, we're surviving. And then they asked about the San Carlos market, and gosh, you know, how much longer is it going to be down? And it's almost stunning to me. And I asked them what they're referring to, and because the numbers certainly don't indicate that, is kind of what I tell them. And in 2007, the average home price in San Carlos went up to just a shade shy of $1.2 million, which is an increase of almost $80,000 over the previous year. And in Q1 of 2008, homes selling in San Carlos sold at an average of 99.7% of their list price. Now, what has been an issue, and this is more of a realtor issue than it is a buyers and sellers issue, is that the number of homes that have been on for sale have dropped dramatically. Not a lot of inventory quite simply means that, unfortunately, a lot of realtors that aren't doing a lot of work. That's kind of been the biggest number here in San Carlos. It's not the price or the value of the property, it's the number of properties that have been offered for sale. And like I said, you know, inventory has been an issue all year with us. So when folks come in and kind of look like you're one step away from the unemployment line, which really isn't the case, that the market is just shot, is a little bit alarming, because it kind of lets me know there's a lot of misinformation that's been floating around out there, and that's why I wish everyone would take a look at the blogs and then get the real numbers of what's happening in San Carlos. And I'll tell you, I think that San Carlos, you look at some of the surrounding cities of San Carlos, have not been as lucky in terms of the properties that are sitting on the market, the days on the market, and the price reductions. And this seems to be king, and that is schools. If your school system is very good, you seem to be holding on to your values. That's really what it comes down to. And to support that statement, I'd look to Menlo Park, which is held very, very well, a good elementary system, elementary school system. Certainly Palo Alto has held onto theirs with their school system extending, a superior schooling system extending all the way through high school. Burlingame, the two areas of San Mateo, being Baywood and Highlands, those areas have all held. You can almost pinpoint it exactly to the school systems. And those areas, with the amount of relocation that we have going on here, the number one concern on just about every relocation employee's mind is the school system. And usually Burlingame is too expensive, Palo Alto is too expensive, and so they start looking in areas with good school systems. Belmont has a good one as well. And that's why I believe San Carlos, Belmont, those two areas of San Mateo have held on so well, when that has not necessarily been the case with some of our neighboring towns there. The affordability factor in you know, I'm using that term loosely, but the school systems have really kind of held this thing together for us, in my opinion. So anyway, wanted to correct a lot of the information that's floating around out there, and appreciate everyone who's logging on that's trying to get informed with the blog, and I'm sure you're reading a ton of other sources as well. And there's a lot of good information out there, but what I always tell my buyers and sellers is, look, you know, read every story you want, but in the end, the numbers don't lie. And that's kind of what we go with here in San Carlos, and what I tried to put out for information for folks on the blog. And the second topic we're going to look at today is kind of a segue there from the first topic, and that deals with listing your home here in San Carlos. And there's a situation that arose for myself a few months earlier in the year, and the client specifically told me he thought it'd be a good topic for the blog now that everything was said and done. And let me tell you the scenario. And it's funny because I had somebody email me this not that long ago either on a similar question. But the scenario was this. Somebody in San Carlos is thinking about listing their house. They interview three listing agents. And let's just say, for instance, they get three different values upon interviewing the three different agents. They get 1.1, 1.2, and 1.3. Well, obviously, you have a huge disparity between the 1.1 and the 1.3. It's even a fairly big disparity between 1.1 and 1.2 and 1.2 and 1.3. So most sellers would be pretty confused by this. And, you know, I think most sellers are of the opinion that, you know, they don't want an agent to come in and say, now your house is worth X more dollars than it really is. They just want to be told the truth, and they don't want the property lingering on the market. They want somebody to be obviously honest with them and give them a fair evaluation for the house. Most agents try to do that. There's some that'll pump it up a little bit, thinking it might increase their chances with getting the listing. But obviously, in this particular case, these folks were a little confused, and they had contacted me and said, you know, gosh, there's a big disparity here. You know, how do we know whose evaluation to trust? And it's tough. You know, for the most part, you can say kind of go with your instinct. You know, but kind of a solution that we came up with, and I think it's probably about as fair of a solution as you're going to get, is ask each agent for their last 12 months worth of listings and ask them to provide the initial listing price as well as the final sales price. And if you're running into examples where there's huge disparities between double-digit disparities between the list price and the sales price, then that probably gives you an indication that perhaps that agent could be off sometimes with their evaluations. It's a little unfair to say that, because I'll tell you, I've kind of been in a situation before where you have a client who thinks their house is worth far more than it actually is, and you know, in that case, you certainly, you know, want to please the client, but I'll normally come to some type of an agreement saying that, you know, we'll agree to put it on for their price for the first 3 weeks, and if we don't get anything, we bring it back down to possibly where it should be. And so in that case, unless that was happening every single time in the examples provided by the agents, then you know, just if there's one that kind of fits that category, understand that could be the case. So it's a little unfair sometimes for agents to be put in that situation and then judged on a future listing presentation. But if it's happening every other time, it's a pretty good indication that perhaps that agent may not be the best with valuations. And I'll tell you, I haven't been doing this forever, but it's not easy. You do the best you can. You get to a basis. You try and make it as analytical as you can. The problem is, on a lot of these, there is a charm factor, and that goes a long way. And even some of the most experienced agents will tell you sometimes, you know, you do the best you can on the price, and you just can't get it there. But however, I do think that if you do your homework properly, you can get it within a percentage point or two, and you just simply do the best you can. In this market, I've kind of always told people that, you know, well, for the most part, we'll err on the side of caution. And if we're truly too low, there'll be enough buyers to bring it up, and that really has been the case. Even though, obviously, you don't want to be fishing around for multiple bids, even though it does happen on occasion, it's just the property is a fantastic property and happens. But normally, you want to go in and price it as fairly as possible in this market. You want to be a little cautious on the price, and that's what I've certainly advised my sellers to do. So anyway, if you happen to run into that particular situation, be aware of it. That's a possible way to solve it. Just simply ask them for their their previous 12 months, the previous 18 months, whatever it may be, and compare the list price with the final sales price, I think that'll give you a pretty good indication. You should also ask for 3 references as well on past sales and make sure that you call the references. I know it's a little difficult, and make sure that everything that agent is telling you is accurate. And again, for the most part, the good agents here in San Carlos, everybody's kind of on the same page, and I think you'll find that it's tough to go wrong as long as you do your homework on it. And finally, I'd like to close with 2 announcements. Number 1 is I've had some folks already asking about San Carlos Treasure Hunters 3, and that will be back. It's an event that I started a few years ago, and Dr. Young joined me last year, and we're going to be proud to bring it to you guys again the following year. And the hunt for Drake's treasure, the applications will be available probably end of summer. You should also be aware that this year we've made a few changes in that, and expect a lot more parental involvement this year, and it should be a lot of fun. Finally, the San Carlos blog will be sponsoring its first contest, which will be available shortly on the blog. If you think you are a San Carlos aficionado, feel free to give it a shot. The winner will be given a very nice town gift certificate, and that should be on the blog in the next few days. Just go ahead and email in your answers if you think you've got it down, and we'll go from there. Appreciate everybody stopping by, and we'll talk to you again next week. Take care.